Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome inside the Slide Over Baby Hour. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Where I'd like to say this, because after you know, tossing it around tonight a lot, the Daniel Jones play, which you're going to hear in a second, clearly the big highlight from tonight's 22-21 win by the Eagles over the Giants was Daniel Jones in the clear running for what was going to be a 90-yard touchdown. And he just happened to fall down with nobody around him. I just showed the video to my daughter, Zoe, and she goes, "What the heck? There was nobody around."
She didn't
what
say heck
to him. No, you she know. Did say heck.
Seriously?
She censors herself. Yeah, no, she's that kid.
So
she's
on the kid. Playground, it's what the blank, but with you, it's what the heck. Good.
Yeah, well, at least there's that. I mean, don't you want that? Don't you want that illusion as a parent, right? That's how they talk, right? But that's how she talks.
Yeah, I gave
us,
up on that
good.
A while ago.
Listen, your issue is going to be you have to pick which daughter is going to be the one that's more in charge of your life as you get older. All right, that's
oh,
the
they've
one
both
you have-
abdicated. I've now, turned it over to Tyshirt.
But you got to find that. You got to find which of your kids is going to be the one to say, okay, they're going to be in control of my life. That's the one you have to make sure gets everything. All right? That you have to make sure.
Everything. Wow.
Well, I
but
mean,
then they might fight.
Well, you don't want to be living with Tyshirt when you're 80 years old, do you? I mean, come
oh,
on.
Come
you
on. You're giving me 80 years old?
Sure. I'll give
if
you
you're living with me, far past that.
Dude, you don't have a lot of bad habits. I mean, you have, you don't have any really bad habits.
I was going to say, Tyshirt
has a lot
I thought you were going to say, you don't have any really good habits.
No. What I'm saying is you and I don't have a lot of bad habits. You drink a little more alcohol than I do, so I'm going to probably go longer. But still, you're going to go really long. You don't want to be 80 years old living with Tyshirt, who's going to be, you know, in his 60s with the long hair and the ponytail and saying, hey, man, I found this brand new hemp that you could actually eat, and it's so good. And then Tyshirt's going to just fall down because he hasn't had any fiber or protein in real protein in 30 years.
No, he's going to run a chain of dispensaries.
No, you're going to be taking care of Tyshirt then too at 80. It's going to be difficult for you.
You're crazy.
I should only be
so lucky to have such a bright, positive force in my life.
Tell him, Mike.
See how I'm sucking up to him so he doesn't feed me to the wolves?
Yeah, you need to make sure that you listen. Hey, if you wind up living with Tyshirt when you're 80, I mean, maybe that's a sitcom or something. You can have a late in life, you know, burst or run. You know, that could you could be the Dr. Fauci, you know, in 30 years, 35 years.
Ooh, I don't know, man. There's good and bad that comes with that.
But Tyshirt so is going to be that 65-year-old guy with a ponytail.
No, no way.
Oh, yeah. You are completely
no
going to be that
no,
guy.
No, at some
oh,
point,
yes.
He'll have the Luther cut. In other words, he'll be bald.
Well, I don't know about bald.
No. No,
and he'll keep the goatee so he'll look like Heisenberg.
No, he'll be the guy like with the bandana around his head and a bandana around his leg for the blue jeans, and he's going to be walking around going, yeah, I just eat all natural stuff, and I just hang out here in the commune all day. Yeah, we're all just...
Well, now
yeah,
it's a Mike, commune.
Well, what do you think it's going to be? It's not going to be just you and him in the same house. It's not the odd couple. I mean, he's going to have a room for you in the back of the barn where, you know, near where all the livestock
No, I'll be living off a lake. Want to come fish? Set a spell? Come on out.
I only raise organic chickens. So, Mike, you need to take care. Listen, no, don't worry about paying me rent. Just take care of all the animals in the barn and make sure they're fed and everything else is good. And then you're all good.
You know, I have always wanted a chicken coop.
We all sit and have a community meal
stuff
at noon every day. And you need to hold this torch when you want to talk in our big community meetings.
It's an animal sanctuary, Jason, all right?
We all sit around the fire once a week.
We do. Clothing optional.
For the communal. And once I blow out the torch, no one's allowed to speak anymore.
Nope.
Then they bust out the horn like you're at a Vikings game.
What does that mean? That means the grand poobah is coming. Oh, we have to be ready.
Well, it means someone's about to be voted off. permanently.
Yeah, that's like that'll be that. See, and that's what I mean. That's your life, all right?
You don't it's not a bad life.
That's why you got to be nice. You got to be nice to one of your daughters who's going to take care of you.
My kids are great.
Because that's where T-shirts. Are you kidding? That's completely going to be T-shirt.
Jason's going to wish he was a part of that communion, let me tell you.
He just wants to be the guy off on the side blowing the horn.
I just want to be the horn guy. I'm just going to be the horn guy. That's all I want
to
do.
It's the call to action.
Blow the horn.
What does he do? He yells about the Mets and then occasionally stops long enough to blow this horn.
Hey, everybody here, you can have as many wives as you want. 6, 7, 8, 9, doesn't matter. We all kind of share everything here. It doesn't matter. Listen, I'm married to Rachel from January until July, and then my summer wife, Michelle, shows up, but she's July until September. Then everybody takes a break, and no one's married because we have to work on the crops.
That's one hell of a rotation right there.
And that's when the sky is most apt for us to be able to try to communicate with the aliens that we have set up.
Oh, at what point in the year do you go to the bullpen game?
The bullpen game.
Wait, when did aliens get into this?
Yeah, I don't know. It just escalated quickly.
That's gonna hit you.
That was about
no way.
About the time the turf monster got Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
way. You're gonna get crazy, Tyshirt.
No way.
But speaking of crazy, this clearly the play of the night, and after seeing it now for about the 250th time, I think I can pinpoint the moment where Daniel Jones starts to lose his balance. All right, now here's the play, 10-yard line. It's a great play. This is like a play call that Jason Garrett is patting. It's like, I'm going to break my arm, patting myself on the back. This is a phenomenal play call that should have resulted in a touchdown, except, well, Daniel Jones just fell down.
Tom Moore than at Indianapolis. You're going to bust a play here. And then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people. Forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Yep. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Okay. First, let me just say this. As I started before we got out of this whole thing about T-shirt living on a commune, even though this Daniel Jones play, look, we're going to live this play forever. It's that awesome. The butt fumble is still number one because the circumstances surrounding it are this. The butt fumble was the Jets were down by 3 touchdowns. Mark Sanchez fumbles the football. The Patriots recover and they go in for a touchdown. Okay. That was that bad. The Giants got 80 yards on this play, and they were in the end zone 3 plays later. So, as much as I would like to say this is more embarrassing, the butt fumble is because the butt fumble helped cost the Jets the game, and it was a little more embarrassing than this. This was at least, you gained 80 yards on the play, and you were in the end zone a couple of plays later, so it kind of worked. Even though this play, oh my goodness, man, we're going to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. But still, it kind of worked. This is what it is. When the Jets do something embarrassing, it's just terrible. But for the Giants, it always seems to work out. Oh, it worked out in the end. We still gained 80 yards and got a touchdown. That's why I can't stand it. That's why I can't say, growing up in New York, I couldn't stand everything always worked out for the Giants. It always did.
It's okay, buddy.
Giants were the cool kid on the block.
I know.
Lived on the corner.
Look, you chose poorly.
Oh, yeah.
No, you made a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, you could have gone to the dark side with Walt. Instead, you tried to find some light. You know what you found there? It was darker than you could have ever imagined.
Well, the thing
Jets,
is,
Knicks.
This is the thing.
And Mets. Come
understand.
On now.
Well, listen, the Mets was me going against my dad. But the Jets was a thing where it's like I could have been the Jets or the Giants. And both my uncles, who were a heavy part of my life when I was younger, were big Giants fans. But my grandfather, because I lived with my grandparents, he was a Jets fan. And so, we, of course, Sunday growing up, you watched all the games. You could. It wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to watch the Giants. So I watched the Giants every week. But he was a Jets fan. And when I started watching football, believe it or not, it's like the only time in history, the Jets were better than the Giants. The Jets had a decent run in the late 70s and early 80s. They made the playoffs a couple of times, made the AFC Championship game. So it was easier back then to watch the Jets.
Sure.
And then, it was a lifetime of misery. And then the Giants started winning. So, but back
back then, that was like, okay, well, I watch the games with my grandfather, so I become a Jets fan. It really was that easy. And clearly, I chose poorly twice. You know, nobody was a Nets fan, so I had to be a Knicks fan. So there you go. That's kind of where it went. But clearly, the Giants, it all worked out. It works out for them. It works out for them. Somehow they land on their feet and look how everything is all. Everything works out great for the Giants. But for the Jets, it does not. But listen to the play. Now we're going to play, and don't play the bleep and butt fumble again.
Tom, more than an
bury
idiot.
You like, I will bury you more. I'll bury you in that commune you live on.
Good luck finding me.
About 30 years. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You need a map.
You'll
to
be
find
on
Tyshirt's
the wind.
Commune.
Yeah. How are you going to catch me? You won't run after me.
Yeah. Like it would be off the grid. It would be an off the grid map too. Off the grid commune. Not like one of those. Oh, the Tyshirt commune. You go down here, you make it right. No,
it's not like Shroot Farms. He's got a guy like Moe's running around.
Moe's there with him. Sure.
I would be honored.
Here is the play. I can pinpoint the exact time when Daniel Jones started falling down. Let's hear it.
Handoff. Nope. Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
So there it is, WFAN on the call. And this is where, look, the play-by-play guys are laughing. The Giants teammates are laughing. Everybody is laughing. He gets near the 30-yard line. And as he passes midfield, he gives a look over his right shoulder because that's where he could see the DB. But he gets a great block from his wide receiver, so that's fine. He passes midfield, he gets the 40, and he tries to peek over his left shoulder. And the thing is, the guy chasing him is further back than the DB on his right. So he kind of peeks a little bit more than normal over his left shoulder. And I think in that moment, because he looked back, and then he said, okay, there's no one, I got to just keep running. Because he wants to know if I'm getting caught and I got to protect the football.
Sure.
Because he's never thinking I'm going to run 80 yards for a touchdown. At some point, a faster DB is going to get to me. But he looks back, he has to look back a little bit further to see. And I think in turning back and running, that's where he lost his balance. Because he looked over his shoulder and he goes back, and that's where you can see him kind of start stilting and walking like he's a giraffe. And he starts going doop, 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 and then he hits the ground. But I think that's what, seeing that, that's what it was the looking over the shoulder and then coming back, that's what caused him to start slipping and falling.
Yeah, I just started getting the jelly legs. Maybe if he'd gone in the serpentine motion, would have kept his mind right. Instead of just that looking back, and it's just enough to throw off your gait, especially as you're starting to get tired and the walls of reality are about to close down on you and you're expecting to get drilled. Because now look, this is like when you're getting ready to throw a pass and you see the guy in your face. You're like, all right, I know I'm about to get hit. This is the something's probably gaining on me in a very good rate of speed. And when they hit me, I don't know how I'm going to take the hit, right? Are they jumping on my back? So so now you're starting to worry about maybe your legs are going to get caught up under you, or he's going to take you out at the legs and trip you up and hang on and do an alligator roll with you. I mean, all of those things, maybe I'm giving it more credit than it deserves, but all of that is enough to discombobulate you and have you, you know, go off stride briefly and, well, send you tumbling to the ground.
You know, and that's the thing about Daniel Jones is when we talk about this play, obviously the embarrassing end gets a lot of the attention. But think about this play for a second where Daniel Jones pulls off this play fake and he goes untouched. Now, it's a great play call by Jason Garrett, right?
We
talked about
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. But here's Daniel Jones and he runs away from the defensive backs, right? He runs away from the DBs. Fastest speed on a run from a
21, baby, 21 miles an hour.
In 3 years, it's the fastest speed. Faster than guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, all quarterbacks that run the football like that. Mahomes, everybody. This is how fast he was. And this shows you that, yes, is Daniel Jones a stiff? No. Daniel Jones has talent, but he's in the same boat as Sam Darnold, who is in the same boat as Baker Mayfield. And Josh Allen clearly is the one guy that, okay, I got this pretty good. The Bills have built an offense around me, and they've given me weapons, and they're doing it the right way. But all these guys are in the same boat. They're all players that have shown us at different times, oh, hey, this guy's got something. but then will also give you plays and throws and make mistakes that you say you can't be doing this at this point in your career. Now, Daniel Jones has one less year than guys like Darnold and Mayfield do, but still, it's the same thing from Jones. You see plays like this and you think, okay, this guy's got it, but he's still, you saw some of the way he's played so far this year, but to this point, and you go, oh man, the Giants got to go get a quarterback if they can get one in the draft here, whether it's Justin Fields or Lawrence or whoever it is. They can't sit around with Daniel Jones anymore. But that's kind of how you have to see a quarterback. You know, the Bill Parcells line was always, you are what you are. And you can sit here for a while and say, boy, that's a lot of potential I see in a guy. And if this happens in the first few weeks of your NFL career, that's an awesome thing. Like Joe Burrow, we're seeing the potential he has of being a really good quarterback, and that's awesome. Now, has he had a couple of times where he struggled? Sure, because he's a rookie quarterback. But there's no time Joe Burrow has shown that, boy, he's not ready for what he's doing. He really is struggling. No, the guy has shown from the beginning, I can handle it. He's just on a bad team. He's already had some 300-yard games. I mean, he's shown that I got it. Three of his six games are 300 yards passing. Completion percentage is up near 70%. He's got it. He is good. But this is Darnold and Jones after they've had 25 starts in the NFL, or getting near 25 starts, and Mayfield the same way, 25 starts. So eventually, you know, how long do you give a guy? You know, you can't give him that long. And that's why I talk about guys like Darnold, and, you know, he is who he is. So it's not going to be a difficult decision for the Jets to go get Trevor Lawrence if after 25 games it's, okay, we still see the same thing. We see him make some great plays, but we see him not find receivers and make bad throws. Same thing for Baker Mayfield. This year they're fine, but the Browns have already cut back the offense to give him less responsibility. That's a big window into how they think Baker Mayfield is and what his ceiling is. When they signed Kareem Hunt to that two-year deal in the summer, we told you they are moving things on Mayfield, and everybody else has come around to that in the past month and a half. Congratulations, but remember, we told you about that like a month before people started saying that. So this is where you're at. You have to evaluate a quarterback. This is who it is. So if Daniel Jones at this point, this is who he is. If this was his third or fourth start in the NFL or in the middle of his first season, I would say, wow, this guy, yeah, keep feeding him. Keep letting him throw. Give him more responsibility. But it's still midway through his second year, and it's, okay, I see some good things. I see some bad things. And eventually that becomes who you are. And that's clearly where these guys are in the NFL right now.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing with Jones in particular. I mean, talking about the game tonight, a number of big throws, that one to Evan Engram was a beautiful ball. You got a catch there, you got a fist pump, and you're getting ready to run out the clock and finish the game. Instead, it falls incomplete, and, well, the rest is history as Carson Wentz gets it done. You saw the sack he took to end the game, right, to effectively end the game and turn the ball over on the fumble. He doesn't feel the pressure as well as he should, right, as the pocket's collapsing. He's certainly got the wheels. If there was ever any doubt, you saw that tonight. But I would go against the idea that he's got enough talent around him, though. I mean, Engram has been spotty, and then we're running out Slayton, who I like in spurts, but not as a number one or a number two necessarily. Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard had a nice game. It's never healthy and is not playing up to the contract that they signed him to. So you could, while it's not nearly as empty as the cupboard left for Sam Darnold, not exactly stocked either. Oh, and Saquon Barkley looked good up in the booth tonight.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Coming up next, you'll hear from Daniel Jones. He spoke about the run following the game. Now, was he angry? Was he mad? Was he able to laugh? You'll hear it. Plus, if yesterday was Antonio Brown back to the NFL day, why is today Dez Bryant back to the NFL day? We'll tell you. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio drinking some velvet here on the show. Glug, 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 glug. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We'll hear from Daniel Jones coming up in a couple of minutes. He talked about his big stumble and fall, one of the biggest football bloopers you'll see. from tonight's loss to the Eagles. But before we get to that, look, yesterday was the day where, hey, Antonio Brown could be coming back to the National Football League in a couple of weeks, and the Seahawks are interested, and Russell Wilson really wants him on the team. He talked about that today. So today was, all right, well, what other former wide receiver could be coming back? And that turns out to be Dez Bryant, potentially to the Baltimore Ravens, who plan to sign him to their practice squad. Now, Dez has been out of the game now for almost 2.5 years. He nearly signed a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Ravens 3 years ago, but didn't want to, thought he could get more money, wanted a 1-year deal, and he hasn't played in the NFL since. So here's Baltimore, and we told you this was going to happen after their early season struggle against big teams. They would say, okay, we need something to help open up this offense a bit. I thought it would be more going after Antonio Brown, and clearly still they might be. They could be one of the teams in the mix for him. But here they go, and they're going to bring back Dez Bryant. Now, the thing is that I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here. All right, I get there's a finite number of wide receivers, but you can make a trade at the deadline to get somebody who's younger, faster, a red zone target to come help you. Dez Bryant hasn't played in 2.5 years, and he hasn't been good since 2014. So what does the guy really have left after not playing in the game for that long? And I get that they're not going to give him a lot of money, and it's the practice squad, and it's kind of a free thing, but Mike, you know, he's a big name, and this is where I go, yeah, it's not just we're signing him and it's a free thing, is that they're expecting him to come in and help them, all right, because he's Dez Bryant. This is not some dude they got off the waiver wire saying, all right, hey, we'll sign you. No, you're getting Dez Bryant, fully expecting him to be able to help you at some point when he gets into football shape and come maybe for the back half of the season or the last 6 games and into the playoffs. And if he doesn't come back and help you, that's a big deal. Because when you're expecting someone to come and help and he doesn't, well, then you're stuck and you're looking for answers. Because even though it's a low investment and they're not going to have to worry about money, you know, okay, well, we're giving Dez, no, they're not giving Dez Bryant anything. When you're looking at a guy to come in and help save you and then he can't do it, that's bad planning, and that's not going to help a team, because this is going to be our solution. And when your solution's not there, you get stuck and you get lost, and suddenly the Ravens don't really have anything else to rely on that can come and really jumpstart the offense. Look, you could call the Jets and get Breshad Perriman back. And, you know, the guy's barely played. Mm-hmm. You get him for this year. You could call the Bengals and get John Ross. There's wide receivers out there to go get that are actually good, that have actually played football more recently than 2017.
And I don't doubt that they won't make the calls, right? They're obviously active in trying to upgrade all aspects of the roster, because they go and they trade for Yannick Ngakoue from the Minnesota Vikings. Was there for first 6 weeks of the year, 5 sacks, had a good run. Bottom line is Minnesota's not good. And Danielle Hunter hadn't returned from his injury, so he's expendable. So clearly they're in the market to upgrade their team. So wide receivers, if they can get them at the right price. And what is this? This is a bucket of balls. I mean, this is nothing. And Dez Bryant realizes he's been thrown a lifeline, so he's not coming in here, you know, with a copy of Keyshawn Johnson's book saying, hey, throw me the damn ball. This guy had it right. I mean, that's not what's happening here, right? Maybe he gives you a little something that eventually elevates him to the active status and makes him part of the team for the stretch run. But to think that he's suddenly going to be some savior, no, nobody's going to be feeling that. Come on now. It's Marquise Brown. It's keeping Mark Edwards healthy, the run game. And then if Lamar Jackson's a little bit banged up, making sure he's right for the stretch run as well. And if you can find help, and maybe Dez Bryant fits part of that. But at no point is that he's suddenly going to be back. All right, you're going to be a 10-target a game guy. No, 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 no. We're looking for perhaps someone else. You mentioned Ross. Maybe A.J. Green gets his way out of Cincinnati, but you're not going to trade him in division. So he may go somewhere else. You want to give Perriman away. You just want to figure out what you can get in terms of draft capital. You want the Jets to go into next season with like 84
Yes.
Draft picks.
You know why? Because that's what's going to make it enviable for a coach to come in. Here you go. This is what this is Joe Douglas today. This is what I got for you. What do we got? We got two firsts. We have 2 seconds. We have 3 thirds. We got 2 fourths. We got 2 fifths. And we got 3 sixths. Hey, make the team how you want. Oh, awesome. Let's work together and do this. That because this is about setting things up for next year now. You know, and look, we talked to Jay Glazer earlier in the show, and he said the Giants and the Eagles have called teams around the NFL and said, hey, who do you want? Call us for our guys. You know, the only guys not available to call and tell us are Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. But all the who do you want? Who do you want? At this point, everybody is trying to figure out where are we going to go. Now, in the NFC East, it's tough because these two teams are still fighting for the division. Still as bad as the Giants are, they're 1-6. They're only 2 games out of first place. But a team like the Jets or other teams, just give us the draft. Give us the draft picks. So many teams now at the deadline will be sellers. You have 10 one-win teams. All right, that's why I'm saying you can get guys. It's not like, the parity in the league this year is really good. You know, everybody's 2-3, you're 3-2. No, you have 10 one-win teams. You have 10 teams that absolutely stink. The Jets happen to stink worse than anybody, but you have 10 teams that stink. So, of course, these teams are going to say, hey, we got a lot of walk guys that you can get. Hey, what do you want? What do you want for? Call up. It's not going to cost you anything. It's a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick, and maybe it's a guy with 1 year left on his deal, and you pay him a little bit more money. But there's got to be better guys out there than to say, okay, we have this fascination with Dez Bryant, which I don't understand.
But you're not bringing him in and just saying, all right, you're now working in the you're the second starter, right? Or you're gonna go in and have 40 snaps this week. It's all right, we've seen that you're working out, you're in shape, you can come in and work out. If it fits, then great, you're on the practice squad with the opportunity to maybe elevate your game as we have injuries or we navigate different parts of the schedule. I got to imagine he could still be an okay red zone target, even if he's not sprinting up and down as he did in his heyday. And as you said, we're going back a number of years since he was a phenomenal wide receiver or even serviceable to some degree. But if you can get coax anything out of him, great. If not, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and here's really no investment. I mean, you can do it, and I agreed that it didn't work, and send him back on his way, and say, hey, can you catch a couple of balls from your backside, one more time, just for old time's sakes, like you were all those hype videos that you were trying to put out, right? I mean, like it's worth a shot, and if it pays off, great. If not, you move on, and I'm sure they already have other targets. And, remembering that they're one of the teams rumored to potentially be in the market for Antonio Brown.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen live from the Geico Studios. I just don't get the Dez Bryant fascination. But who knows? Maybe we'll find out Chris Collinsworth is going to come back at some point.
He raced a horse. our guy Andy Furman, who was on earlier tonight, he was one of the guys that organized that. But wow, that derailed everything.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's okay. That's all right. Look, I've already had people sitting here asking me if you're drunk tonight. So that's
if
that's
I'm okay. Drunk.
Yeah, I get people. Is Mike drunk tonight? But Mike's ass is drunk. People all through my timeline asking me that. I don't.
I've been outstanding tonight. Are you kidding me? I've sermonized. I've harmonized. I've brought the world together.
Did you really say harmonize? Like you're trying to make that happen? Like you're trying to make harmonize happen?
No, otherwise I would have emphasized it. I would have changed where I put the emphasis on the syllable.
These are probably people who are new listeners, and they hear and they go, oh my God, that guy is absolutely insane.
Which means they'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Sure. They think you're an acquired taste. So, it might be the way it is, too. I don't know. But I got people asking me if you're drunk, so it's okay.
The answer is emphatically no. I've got a lot of coffee in me.
We will hear from Daniel Jones on his big stumble run coming up in 90 seconds. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So just to familiarize yourself with it and to give us a chance to play it again, here is the Daniel Jones football blooper that is clearly the best one since the butt fumble. Running for a touchdown tonight, he just falls down while he has nobody around him. Here's how the call sounded on Fox Sports Deportes.
Van por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No. El balón se cayó. Se tropezó. Vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
Oh, I think he said something about celebration there at the end. Was celebrando?
Yeah, he was celebrated he was going to too early or something like that. Yeah,
but instead his pants fell down. Something like that, I think, is what he said.
Wow.
Well, because he kind of gave a little pantalones in there a little bit.
You think? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what that that verbiage is.
But what did Daniel Jones have to say about his run that ended with him falling on his face? Well, here he was after the game addressing it.
I just try to run faster than I was running and got caught up. So we finished the drive, scored a touchdown. So that was a relief to me for sure.
I want to make sure I remind you that we scored a bleep and touchdown on this drive, all right? Don't Mark Sanchez me, okay? I'm not Mark Sanchez. I am Daniel Jones, and I ran for 80 yards, and then we scored a touchdown. So don't try to Mark Sanchez me. See, this is the tough part about tonight, because had the Giants won, it would have been fun, Daniel Jones. This is what I did. Here's this. And the players are talking. They're laughing. But here they are in a game. They led late, and they wound up losing to the Eagles. So we get, I just tried to run, and it just, but we scored a touchdown. Write that in your column. I learned that from LeBron James. Always make sure you give your stats and what you did and what your team did to the reporters so they can't make it like you failed. I'm going to give you that stat. We scored a touchdown on that drive. We would have had the more fun, Daniel Jones. But instead, we just got the, I just tried to run faster than I could.
Yeah, late collapse in the final 5 minutes. I mean, that's what gets it done. 1-point loss, and now you've got – it's not really the feel-good 80-yard run that it should be otherwise. I mean, we're kind of cheated, the collective fans of the NFL. The other part is, just as he's describing it, he's almost like the guys the other day trying to excuse Ezekiel Elliott for trying too hard when he fumbled the ball twice. It's kind of what Daniel Jones kind of worked himself into. I was working really hard, trying, and I got caught up. It's like, right, you got caught up in yourself. So he was trying too hard. That's why he fell down, Jason.
Yes, he was trying too hard. I that happens
to me.
So
like Homer
as well.
Simpson says, never try. Anyway.
Yeah, listen. You can't lose if you never tried. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We have our final big thought on Thursday Night Football, and it's about the other quarterback. Plus, we'll give you our picks for Game 3 of the World Series coming up tomorrow night. That is straight ahead right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Play of the night coming your way in a couple minutes. Gee, I wonder what that's going to be.
Oh, I've got a candidate.
But
might surprise you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to the play of the night in a minute. But obviously tonight, the Eagles, it was football on a Thursday night. We had the Daniel Jones folly. We had crazy-ass decisions by Doug Peterson. We had a pretty entertaining second half on television, which when you realize sports is a TV show, hey, the last 90 minutes of it was pretty good. Eagles beat the Giants 22-21, and Carson Wentz throws the game-winning touchdown, a beautiful pass that was only in a place for his receiver to get it. It was a great throw, which reminds you of this is what we used to think about Carson Wentz. Boston Scott makes a nice catch over his shoulder, but this throw is where Boston Scott's going to catch it and nobody else, and it is awesome.
How would you like to hear that?
Sure, let's hear it.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott! Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Corner at the goal line and went in.
What a catch. What a throw. What a catch. It's a back shoulder throw by Carson Wentz, and little Boston Scott somehow finds the football. What a throw. What a catch.
This is amazing.
Little Boston Scott on the
little
reception.
Boston Scott. Hey, look at little Boston Scott with that catch.
How do you think you feel about that?
Well, we had to worry about the Daniel Jones post game, so we'll get to Boston.
I'm worried
Scott
about both
up.
Of them, man.
But this was a great throw, and this reminds you of this is what people thought about Carson Wentz. He's getting all this blame, and Carson Wentz is terrible. And look, Carson Wentz has had some good games. He's had some bad games. The issue with the Eagles is not Carson Wentz. The thing is the Eagles expected him to be better than he was. They thought when we take him number two overall, he's going to be a franchise quarterback. Because anytime you take a guy that early, you think he's going to be Andrew Luck. Oh, he's going to be that good. And sometimes they are. And sometimes they're not. And clearly Carson Wentz isn't. When he had his best year in 2017, the Eagles' weapons were so deep in that Super Bowl run. He probably would have been the MVP. He had LeGarrette Blount and Clement and Ajayi and Ertz, Jeffrey, Aguilar, Trey Burton, Torrey Smith. He doesn't have all those guys now. They don't have a lot of weapons there in Philadelphia. So, of course, if you're not that next-level quarterback, you're not going to be as good. The issue isn't Wentz. It's the Eagles haven't put enough around him. And usually when you have a franchise quarterback, you want to keep giving him weapons to succeed. And the Eagles haven't done that. That's the issue. Not that Wentz stinks. Wentz is not the end-all, be-all. But clearly he would still be good if you just give him a chance with some playmakers around him.
Well, that's it. You bring back DeSean Jackson. How did his game end? He's asking for prayers because he's in a walking boot again. He just came back. Alshon Jeffrey still isn't back. You're throwing to guys named Ward and Hightower and others that you've gotten off the street. Fulgham, he's a great story. But they're not A-list guys. You had Goddard and Ertz, who are now both hurt indefinitely. Your offensive line's banged up. You know, you're cobbling together division titles and surrounding Carson Wentz. Look, and he made a number of bad decisions. There's no excusing some of the plays that we saw tonight, and I'll leave that for the folks that are going to do the deep dive X's and O's, but holds the ball a long time, wasn't feeling the pocket. He was doing the Ben Roethlisberger without the Ben Roethlisberger finish of, all right, now I guess I'll just throw the ball, you know, 30 rows into the stands.
I'm gonna throw that football over a mountain.
Well, you know what I mean? Like where finally someone's on his leg and it's either a short completion or he wings it out of bounds. No, Wentz was still keeping it in the field of play in harm's way or absorbing sacks. So, you know, there's got to be a little bit better decision making there. But to your point, like the cupboard is bare, man. That offensive line that was so instrumental to the success that he had and then Wentz had, or that Nick Foles had to finish off the Super Bowl run, should say, that you, those guys were all banged up. They got old. And now it's time to figure out the next iteration of that offensive line and hope that Miles Sanders comes back and that he's the player that you drafted him to be.
How about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. So there's Carson Wentz, but you know our play of the night comes to us courtesy of Daniel Jones. You want to know what's really scary? I mean, besides Daniel Jones falling down, seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something that you don't. Get a quote at geico.com. Welcome to the Giants fake, and welcome to Daniel Jones falling down.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
WFAN on the call, Giants Radio Network. You can't play the Halloween movie music. And well, you can't play it in a gunshot because Michael Myers doesn't kill anybody.
He has a teammate.
No, he doesn't.
Whoa.
Okay, I'll take the knife. You take the gun.
Yes.
Okay,
great.
No, he has a teammate.
You take the gun. I'll take the cannoli. Let's go.
Oh, this person was stabbed to death with a cannoli. Oh, that would be in the Godfather Halloween movies.
Well, it's the long range. You eat enough cannolis, there's going to have an adverse effect upon you.
All right, so tomorrow night we'll be talking hot and heavy about Game 3 of the World Series. Who walks away with it, Mike? Rays or the Dodgers?
Bueller.
You know, if it, yeah, look, Charlie Morton's tough. He's a good pitcher. I am not going against Walker Bueller, who comes through in every circumstance in the postseason. This guy is the new bulldog of this rotation.
Whoa, the bulldog.
You like what I did there? Well, like Hershiser hates me, so it's
I know
okay.
That. He does.
Ben,
we'll talk about
Ben
that tomorrow.
Maller's coming up next. This is Fox.